Our Heavenly Father, we praise you because we have the promise that all things are working together for good. It doesn't say all things are good, but all things are working together for the good. We can thank you and praise you that even in the most difficult of times, that you're working in the spirit realm to draw people to Christ. Whatever their relationship might be, whatever their need might be, we know that you are working. And for that, we thank you. And yet at the same time, under the influence of your Spirit, we pray for these who are hurting, those who are suffering through severe health problems, especially the family that Paula mentioned. We cannot help but our heart and our spirit go out to them and ask for your mercy upon them, your blessing upon them. We pray for this young man by the name of Titus. We pray that out of your mercy and grace, as he looks to you and cries out to you, that you would, out of your mercy, save him if it be your will. Minister to him. Deliver him, we pray. We pray for all of those that we know that have lost loved ones, for those who are approaching operations this week, for those going through physical difficulties. We pray that you'd cause us to look into Christ in the inner person, in the spirit realm, for Christ's strength, for his presence in us. And as we pray, as we limp through this life, that your Holy Spirit would show us that all things around us, including our own physical body, is deteriorating with decay and death, that only the things of Christ will last, that we have a living hope in Jesus Christ, and that we have the resurrection and ascension power of Christ in us to sustain us, not only now, but throughout eternity. And for that, we thank you and praise you. We pray that you take these people in their circumstances and cause them to trust you and rely on you because of the human resources being cut off. We pray now that as we spend time together in your word, that again you would emphasize to us that you have helped us in our weakness, not in our strength, and the blessing and provision that we have in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See, this is why you can come out to Sisquoc and know with confidence our service will not be interrupted. Those flying machines that you hear out here in Sisquoc, they're called heavenicopters. So we're fine. Romans chapter 8. We're still in the section of 26 through 30, in the chapter of the provision of the Spirit of God. Verse 26, and likewise also the Spirit is helping with our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray according to it is necessary. Notice, it's not what we should pray for. There's no word for in the text. We don't know what we should pray according as it is necessary to pray. But the Spirit itself, or himself, is interceding on behalf of us with unspeakable groanings. Again, emphasizing the groanings are unutterable. They are not spoken. And the one who is searching, notice the present participle, the one who is searching the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he is interceding on behalf of saints according to God. In the English text, it says according to the will of God, which is pretty much what it's saying. But his intercessory prayer is according to God. God designed and based on God. And we know that all things are working for good. And the word good is the word agathos, meaning spiritual good. All things are working for good to those who are loving God and to the ones who are being called according to purpose. That's all it says, according to purpose. We want to function on that, focus on that this morning. Very important. We spent the last couple of weeks on this section, at least the first couple of verses. They are some of the most important verses in the Bible for a believer to grasp and understand, not just God's provision for us, but the emphasis on our weakness and on the fact that God has given us His Holy Spirit. In this chapter, we've been studying the provision of God's Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that the Spirit of God is leading God's people. Secondly, we saw in verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability, the power. In fact, He is the one that inspires us towards God to call God our Father. It's not even our doing. And thirdly, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It is His presence and His testimony that bears witness that we belong to Christ. Fourthly, for today, and likewise, the Spirit also is helping with our weaknesses. So He leads us. He inspires through us to call out to God as our Father. He is the witness of God in us that we belong to Christ. And He identifies with us, in fact, helps us in our weaknesses. As we read just a moment ago, His prayer for us is with unspeakable groanings. In verse 22, we saw that all of creation is groaning because God has subjected it to be without hope. In verse 23, that even believers are groaning, looking for the redemption at Christ's coming. Now we have a third groaning. Same word. God's Spirit also groans or sighs. But it is not audible. It is not spoken. It is something that's in the Spirit. And I hope you catch with me the tremendous provision God has made for us in the spirit realm by the work of His Spirit that's in us. First of all, He is helping us. Our weaknesses represent our physical condition, our human condition that is not redeemed, that is still full of decay and death. In case you haven't noticed, we are decaying. Our physical bodies are corrupting and in the corruption process, and one day we'll die. even though Jesus one day will raise it up, a spiritual body. Yet because we are still in our human condition, though we are filled with the presence of Christ, it's in our weaknesses that the Holy Spirit helps us. And if you catch a glimpse of what Paul is saying here, you get a glimpse of, it answers the question, why would God save me and then leave me here like this? Creation is tainted by sin. The flesh of believers is tainted by sin. So why save me and leave me here? So that I will be in a weakened condition and have to depend on the provision of His Spirit. That's why. To learn that, in order for me to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that is why I have been left in a weakened physical condition. It is a process of me learning to live by faith rather than by the physical senses. The more I try to live by the physical senses, the worse things get. Discouragement, depression, no hope. Is the Lord really real? He helps with our weaknesses, but then he says, then the text says, and it opens up with a explanatory conjunction, gar, for we do not know what we should pray according to his necessary. Stop and think about that statement. We think we know what to pray for. Sometimes we pray and say, well, maybe I didn't pray it right, or maybe I didn't pray enough, or maybe I should have said something else. The fact is that we do not know what we should pray as it is necessary. So he is helping us. But now he says, but the Spirit himself is interceding on behalf of us with unspeakable groanings. To intercede means to represent. The Holy Spirit, in my weakened condition, though I experience my weaknesses, He identifies with me with my weaknesses, and in the spirit realm, He is sighing or groaning. It's not a language, it's not spoken. On behalf of me. That's kind of interesting that God's Spirit's not just standing there with His hands on His hips saying, okay, you're in the weakened condition, but I'm God. So, you know, get up. Come on, let's go. Is that He identifies with my weaknesses. That doesn't mean He's weak. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4 that we do not have a high priest in the heavens that is unsympathetic to our condition, because our high priest in heaven used to live here in a human body. And he knows that what we are going through. He has experienced the pressure of temptation, though he himself was without sin. So we have a high priest in heaven who sympathizes with our weaknesses. So much so that he sends his Spirit, who in the spirit realm is groaning and sighing because of our conditions. And he intercedes, he represents us to God by interceding in the spirit realm. So he is helping us continuously. He is interceding for us continuously. But this is all based on verse 27. He is searching us continuously. All of his interceding for us is based on the searching power and ability of God. It says, and the one searching the hearts. Again, searching is a present participle, constantly. This is God God who is searching the hearts, He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The reason? Because God's Spirit is interceding on behalf of saints according to God. All of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, are all in, they're all like-minded, and they are all in communication with one another. God's Spirit is in us, and He sees what needs to be prayed for. God the Father, who searches the hearts, He receives the intercession of the Spirit of God because God's Spirit is praying according to God. There isn't anything that is left undone. God's Spirit knows what to pray for because He knows us. And He knows God the Father. God the Father sees the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prays according to God's will. Now, last week we took the fundamentals and basics of prayer in the Bible. Two things of importance from 1 John 5:14. We took James 4. James 5. We took also James chapter 4. John says that if we ask anything according to His will, we have confidence that He hears us. Well, how do I know what His will is? You don't have to know. God always answers the prayer that asks for His will to be done. Secondly, if we have confidence that indeed praying according to His will, as for His will to be done, we can have confidence that we have, present tense, we have the requests that we have made of Him. That's pretty simple to understand, except the hard part is that when we pray for God's will to be done and things, His will doesn't work out things the way we think a God of love should do it, or more than not, when we pray for God's will to be done in a situation, things get worse in the human, in the physical. Then all of a sudden, we take a second look on the meaning of prayer and decide, like Abraham of old, that we have to take charge of prayer. That if things turned out not according to the way we wanted them to or think that we should, that it was our fault. God wanted to do it my way, but I just didn't have the faith, or I left it up to Him, and it was left up to me. And so we think that we're in control, or that we have to do something. And I've given you my definition, the summary statement of prayer. Prayer is the expression of our submission to the will of God. That's what prayer is. The Scriptures tell us that God knows what we need even before we ask. And when you have somebody on the inside of your group that seemingly is part of the group, but they really feed information to the enemy, he's called a mole. There's a mole in our group. Except we have just the opposite. We have the Holy Spirit in our group, and He knows before we even knew, and He talks to the Father about it, and the Father talks to Him, and by the time I go to pray, God already knows what I need because somebody told Him. You know. Somebody told God what's going on. So then the question comes up, then why, if all of that is true, why do we even need to pray? Here's the great part about prayer, is that the reason the Holy Spirit inspires me to get involved at times is so that I can participate with God. When I ask the question, then why do I need to pray if God already knows what I need and the Holy Spirit's already interceding for me? Just the question itself shows the condition of, I only pray because I have to, because if I don't, I'm not going to get it. You know, it's a relationship. The Holy Spirit not only inspires me to call upon God as my Father, but He inspires me to be involved in the prayer process at times. And when I emphasize it at times, you and I both know that we're not praying 24 hours a day, or else you and I wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be alive. You can't drive and pray. Well, you can, but not for too long, for something's going to happen. The point of the text is that the Holy Spirit is interceding for me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whether I'm aware of it or not. And we'll find out later on in the chapter that Jesus Christ Himself is at the right of the throne of God, and He's interceding for us in heaven. So I've got all of the persons or personages of the Godhead involved in my life who are praying for me because I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to pray. But God's got me covered. His Spirit is praying on my behalf. He's representing me. He's praying according to God's will. But here's where my participation comes in, that's very important. If I pray, if I'm involved in the prayer process, and the psalmist went through this, he would tell God everything that's on his heart. My enemies are out there, and something's happening over here, and wow, you know, everything's, the whole world is exploding on me here. But nevertheless, I will praise you and pray for your will to be done. Yeah. If we express ourselves to God, He's not going to get upset. He knows that we get frustrated and we come to Him frustrated. And basically what I'm saying to Him is, by saying all that, is I don't know what to pray, you know? Look, like He doesn't know. Look, anybody up there? You know, like God doesn't already see us. We are the ones that all of a sudden, when something happens, does God know? Maybe He doesn't. Maybe I better tell Him. And He's known about it before it even happened. So I am involved in whatever, in the horizontal, I am praying for. Whether it be a person or a thing, a circumstance, I, in some way, in the human, I am involved. And it is very important for me to be able to come to God and say, concerning this situation, Lord, look what's going on. All this is going on. Pray for your will to be done. I am the one in the circumstance that needs to get realigned. I am the child of God that needs to say, if I'm praying for this situation over here, I need to be focused up here, not over here. We're always looking for the circumstance and asking God to intercede like this, you know, because this thing's got us. God, you got to do something about this because He's, you know. And what God wants us to do is say, yes, that's a very real situation and you care. And you see it, and I've allowed you to see it, and I've burdened your heart about it. Now, pray. My focus is on God. When I pray for God's will to be done, I am submitted to whatever happens as being under the control of God for His purposes. Prayer is not for us to be in control of our own lives or to be in control of God's Spirit. One last thing in verse 28. We've seen the helping, the interceding, and the searching. You know verse 28. Now you see it in context. And we know that all things are working together for good to the ones loving God, that is, to the ones being called according to purpose. That's a statement of fact. All things are working for good. Spiritual good. Well, how can you make that statement? Because God's Spirit is interceding for us. He's praying according to God's will. God the Father sees. God the Father searches. He hears the intercession of God's Spirit, and God the Father answers accordingly. So every situation in my life is working out for the spiritual good. There is no chance for it to fail. And my involvement is participation because I have a relationship. Saw some kids the other day doing the jump rope thing. You know, we got two ropes going. The kids off on the side getting ready to jump in, and they're kind of going with the rope like this. You know, that's our part. God's active. He's moving. He's providing. He's answering. He's moving in our life according to His will. And He moves us to jump in and get involved. But it's not us that's doing the praying. It's the Spirit. Even in my humble, weak human voice, as I pray, and I know God's Spirit, when He prays, you don't hear Him. But when He inspires me, He prays according to the burden that He places upon my heart. But I realize that I'm praying for those who are hurting and those who are of need, but I also am very aware that prayer is for me to line up myself in submission to the will of God. We have a hard time with answered prayer. Even today, as soon as something happens somewhere in the world, some tragedy, the first thing that comes over the airwaves is, how can a God of love do that? Because that's the way we look at physical things. Some answers to prayer according to God's will we can't accept. Because our value of love and value of honor and worth, we put too much in the human. I remember the story Billy Graham gave one time when he took his son when he was young. He took him out on a boat, motorboat. And he had the engine throttle wide open out in the sea. And his son was just laughing and they were bouncing on the waves and just having a great old time. Then his son said, Can I work the boat? Can I do the engine? So Billy Graham says, okay, but you can't open the throttle like I did. But yeah, go ahead, you can do it. So his son's just kind of motoring along. All of a sudden, Billy Graham looks up, and they're coming close to the shore, and they're heading right for the rocks that are lining the shore. And his son is totally oblivious because he's having such a great time. So Billy waited a few moments, and he saw that his son was not going to turn. And if he saw too late, he was going to hit those rocks. So he reached over and grabbed the throttle, grabbed the engine away from his son, and his son just had a fit. Why did you take it away from me? I was just having such a good time. He says, son, look. You're having such a good time, you didn't even know you were heading right for the rocks. And sometimes we get upset at God. Because a God of love, how can He do that? But you know, God cares more about a person's soul, more about a person's eternity than He does about the flesh. And God will do whatever it takes to get the person's attention and cause a person to see their need for Christ. A God of love cares more about the soul than he does the flesh. So for us, through prayer, we express our faith and trust and surrender and submission to God's will, while at the same time participating with the Spirit of God. But if I'm not participating right at that moment, God's Spirit is still interceding on my behalf. And all things are working out for the good. But notice the condition. It's for those who are loving him and those who are being called according to purpose. In other words, whatever things I'm going through that are working out for the good, God has a purpose for doing it. Everything that happens in my life, because I've surrendered to Christ, has a purpose to it. And to those who are continually loving him, all things are working for good. I love it when we're able to focus on just how detailed God's provision for us is. We don't know what to pray. We're involved, but we don't know what to pray. And God knows that. His Spirit leads us. His Spirit testifies in us and through us. His Spirit and the inspiration of His Spirit, and through that we can call God our Father. And because of our human weakened condition, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and prays, and the Father hears and answers and works all things out according to God's will, because that's what the Holy Spirit is praying. That should not give us leeway to be lazy, but it should relieve the guilt, especially when somebody comes up and says, well, the reason this is happening to you is because you didn't pray right. Hey, I admit it right off the bat. I don't know what to pray. What's pray right? I don't know. I prayed. I don't know if it was right or not, but I prayed. But God's Spirit in me, God's Spirit has been given to me to intercede for me. Remember an old joke on Laurel and Hardy? One of them was speaking, the other one says, yeah, whatever he said. I can pray to God, but at the same time go, whatever the Holy Spirit said when he prayed, when he represented me, that's good enough. Let your will be done, Lord. But he allows us to come and tell him all the things, just like Jesus when he was in the human. Father, if there is a way other than the cross, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's submission. That's submission. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Not because we look at the human, but because we know that behind the scenes, in the spirit realm, you are working all things out according to your purpose. And we can know that all things are being worked out according to your will. It is true that your Spirit moves in us, even participating in circumstances changing and situations changing, but it's according to your will. We can only thank you for the opportunity to participate, to actually be inspired by God's Spirit to speak to God Himself. What a great privilege that is. But our communication should be in line with your will. expressing our submission and our surrender. Because in the human, we do get very involved, psychologically, emotionally, even personally, physically, getting involved, maybe in a way that would be interfering spiritually more than helping. So we pray, number one, that you would help us to see the great blessing and provision you've given us by your Spirit being here. And because of his intercession, all things are being worked out for good. Because the Holy Spirit is praying according to the will of God. Which brings us to point number two, trusting you. We don't have the ability to do these things, but you want us to live by faith. And through faith we can trust you, and through faith we can be at peace. Because we know that you have a purpose for what you're doing. We pray that you'd bless us with the understanding of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.